Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
As always, it's such a privilege and an honour to be able to share the Word of God with you. And it's been a little bit of a process getting this message for tonight because as I was preparing up until about 8 p.m. on Thursday night, I was actually preparing a completely different message, like they're not even a little bit the same, when I felt that it needed to change to something different. And I kind of had a little bit of a back and forth with God of like, God, I don't actually have time to write another message. I don't have any more ideas, but this just came out. And I just truly believe that this is a word from God for someone. And even just with the worship that we've just had and what Graham has just prayed, it's really a confirmation for me that this is the word of God that I'm sharing with you all tonight. So we're going to get straight into it. And so if you want to get out your Bibles and open up to Psalm 46. So that's Psalm 46, that's where we're going to be setting up camp tonight. And we're going to be making our way slowly through this psalm, and we're going to unpack it together and reflect on some of the simple but the incredibly powerful truths that are held within it. And I think sometimes when we are familiar with Scripture, if it's some of those common verses that get thrown around all the time, or if it's that you've grown up in church and you've read the Bible cover to cover many times, sometimes we can just gloss over the simplicity of things. And tonight we're actually going to stop and unpack it a little bit. So Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for the truth in your word. We just thank you that we have your word that we can come to meet with you, to encounter you. And tonight, as we gather together and we come around your word together, we just pray that you would be in our midst, Lord God. I fully rely on you in this moment, Lord God. I just pray that you would speak your words through me tonight. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, so Psalm 46. So the Psalms are songs. They were written as songs. And now songs, generally speaking, have a clear structure. They have distinct sections to them. So church songs, for example, so they will usually go something on the lines of verse 1, verse 2, chorus, verse 3, chorus, chorus, bridge, 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 chorus, chorus, bridge, chorus. And we just kind of get stuck in that little loop for a while there. But the songs have distinct sections, yeah? And in the same way that songs have distinct parts, so too do a lot of the Psalms. And that's what we see here in Psalm 46. It's divided up into three distinct sections. So we have verse 1 to 3, that's section 1, verses 4 to 7, that's section 2, and verses 8 to 11, that's section 3. And each one of these sections is very distinct in tone, and they all end with this word, Selah. And now the word Selah is a Hebrew word that appears 71 times throughout the 150 Psalms. And depending on what translation you're using, that word Selah might instead read interlude, or you might instead have a little footnote there instead of the actual word. And the exact meaning of the word Selah is actually unknown, but the general consensus among theologians and Bible scholars is that it is a musical term which means stop and listen, or pause and reflect. And so the title of my message tonight is Pause and Reflect, because that's exactly what we're going to do. as we make our way through Psalm 46, we're going to read each of these little sections and then we're going to pause and reflect. So let's go back to the top. Verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Selah. So tonight, our first Selah moment, the first thing that we're going to pause and reflect on is the truth that God is our refuge. God is our refuge. That's how the psalmist begins. And so no matter what comes with the rest of the psalm, no matter what else is written, everything else that follows comes back to this truth that God is our refuge. So what's a refuge? It's a shelter. It's a place of safety. It's a place of protection. And so if you were to find yourself in the middle of a storm, be it a torrential downpour of some sort or a tornado or an earthquake, or if you find yourself in a situation where there's a physical threat or a danger of some sort, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to find a safe place and take shelter. You need to find a place of refuge. And at 10:33 a.m., on the 4th of July, 2019, there was a 6.4 magnitude earthquake in the town of Ridgecrest in Southern California, which is about 200 kilometres from LA. Does anybody remember this? Remember hearing about this on the news? No, no one does. It's fair enough. It doesn't make the news over here. I remember it, though, because I was there. I flew into LA and my flight landed early that morning. And I was in the airport shuttle transfer bus that was taking me to my hotel. And it gets to the point where I'm the only one left in the shuttle bus, so the driver's making small talk. And no joke, so this was my introduction to the United States. So did you feel the earthquake? And I was like, no? Was there just an earthquake? Because I hadn't felt anything. I was sure this guy was just pulling my leg, kind of like how Aussies will tell tourists about the drop bears and things like that. I was like, surely there wasn't just an earthquake that happened. And so I get into my hotel room and I turn on the TV only to discover that there had in fact been an earthquake and it was all over the news. And one thing that they were discussing as they were reporting on this earthquake, what the journalists and scientists were talking about was they were saying, is this the big one? Is this the big one? Does this mean the big one is about to occur? And I was like, what are they talking about? What's the big one? Why are they all using this term? So I Googled it, which was a mistake. I should not have Googled it because what I discovered terrified me. Because you see, there's a giant fault line that's running right through the middle of Southern California called the San Andreas Fault, which you might know if you've seen that movie with Dwayne Johnson. I have not, but apparently it's a big deal. The San Andreas Fault. And according to scientists, this fault line ruptures, causing a major earthquake approximately once every 150 years. And it's overdue. So scientists are pretty much sitting around waiting for this catastrophic earthquake to occur and have named it the big one. And so as I was standing there Googling earthquakes, I came across all the damage predictions, the thousands of estimated casualties, how long they think people are going to be without things like power and running water and food, and I freaked out. I was like, oh my goodness, the big one's coming. I'm here. Like, I was traveling by myself. And so I was like, okay, what do I do if the big one happens? So I Googled what to do in an earthquake because I don't know what to do in an earthquake. But it got to the point where I also, like, so I was Googling what do I do in an earthquake? Like, am I supposed to be in a doorway or not? I knew there was something about a doorway. It turns out you're not supposed to stand in a doorway during an earthquake. But it got to the point where I was like Googling where is the Australian consulate in LA, like just in case there was a really big earthquake and like I just needed somebody to know that I was still alive. But like as far as I could tell, everybody else in LA seemed to be pretty chill about this because they have like little tremors and things all the time. So I was like, okay, maybe I'm just overreacting. But then the next day at 8:19 p.m., I entered my hotel room, shut the door, when suddenly literally everything started shaking, like literally everything. And this town that is 200 kilometres away had just been hit with a 7.1 magnitude earthquake. And so everything starts shaking and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is it. This is the big one. Like, what do I do? And so I'm looking around, I'm trying to remember what I'd Googled. And so I was like, okay, I need to stay away from windows and hide under a desk. But the thing is, in the hotel room, the desk was next to the window. So I was like, I don't know what to do, but it only lasted 30 seconds and then it was all over. It was not the big one, by the way. It was not. But in that moment, everything just started shaking. I didn't know what was going on. In my brain, I was just like, okay, shelter. I need to find shelter somehow. And so let's bring this back to Psalm 46. We start off by declaring that God is our refuge and that God is our shelter. God is our place of safety. And once we take a hold of that truth, it means that when we find ourselves in life, in situations where suddenly everything just starts shaking and we don't know what's going on, we don't have to run around madly Googling what to do or trying to find things to hide under because we know that we have an ever-present help. Ever-present as in always there. We have God, our refuge. When everything starts shaking and it feels like our world is falling apart, we can shelter ourselves in Him. We can hide ourselves in the Word of God and we can take cover under the name of Jesus. In life, the storms that rock us and the earthquakes that shake us about aren't always literal. And I don't know what storm or tough situation you might be going through right now, but I'm guessing it probably doesn't have much to do with weather or geography. It might be stress at work, strained relationships, physical health crisis, mental health crisis. You can fill in the blank yourself. Whatever your storm, what do you do when it hits? Where do you take refuge? Where do you seek shelter? Because if you're in a situation where you need to seek refuge, you can't just shelter anywhere. You can't shelter from a tornado under a tree and expect to come out of that situation in one piece. You need to shelter somewhere that is actually able to offer you sufficient protection from the threat. The shelter needs to be able to withstand the strength of the storm. And if in your moments of crisis you're seeking refuge in things like alcohol, or your phone, or you're burying yourself in your work, or you're buying stuff, like sure, it might make you feel better for a minute and you might forget about the storm that's raging on around you, but it's not actually going to offer you any sort of protection. Psalm 52 verse 7 says, "See the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and sought refuge in his own destruction." When we seek refuge in our own abundance instead of in his, we're seeking our own destruction. You're not going to come out unscathed. You're actually going to do more damage. Because earthly refuges, no matter how flashy they are and how much they promise, they aren't sufficient to withstand the strength of the storm. And what the psalmist goes on to describe isn't just a little bit of wind and rain. It's bigger than the big one. What's described in Psalm 46, it's like near apocalyptic. The earth is giving way. The mountains are crumbling. Oceans are raging. And yet we read that in amongst all this turmoil and amongst all this destruction that God is our refuge and our strength because he is big enough and he is strong enough to see you through it. And not just see you through it as in, oh, I barely made it out of that situation alive, but he will actually bring you through it and you will be stronger on the other side coming out of it than you were when you were going through it. Romans 5 verse 3 to 4, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. In the moments where it seems like our world is falling apart, we need to come back to this truth that we find safety in God, our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in times of trouble. And then verse 2. It says, therefore, we will not fear. We will not fear. We do not need to panic. We do not need to Google directions to the consulate. We don't have any reason to be fearful of the big one. You don't need to fear the storm when you take shelter in the one who has authority over it. God is our refuge. He is a safe place. We're going to move on to our next little section of this psalm. So starting at verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Our next point of reflection. God is within us. So let's start in verse 4. There is a river. And we'll just stop here for a second. Because back in verses 2 and 3, we were given a picture of violent and destructive waters that roar and foam. They're wild, they're raging. And now as we transition into this next little section, we're presented with a picture of a river. It paints quite a different picture. It paints a picture of tranquility. A river gives us a picture of sustaining life, not destroying it like the roaring, foaming waters that we just read about. It's quite a contrast that we're seeing here. Sorry, I've lost where I'm up to. So now this proximity to a water source is important in city development, especially before like planes and cars were a thing. Being near a water source was important for trade. It was important for transport. It was important for sustaining life. And so this is why most major cities around the world are either built on a coastline or on a river. I'm sure not all the rivers are quite as gross as the Yarra, but they all have a water source of some sort. But here's the thing. We read about this river who has streams that make glad the city of God being Jerusalem. But there isn't actually a river in Jerusalem. So what's this river in the city of God that they're talking about? In verse 5, the psalmist goes on to reveal that God is within her, her being the city of Jerusalem, not a person. God is within her. She will not fall. Because God is the river. God is the source of provision. And so the city won't fall. It won't be moved. It won't be destroyed because it's being sustained by the river, which is God. So even though the mountains might fall and the mountains might shake and the earth might give way, the city of God and the people of God will not. They won't fall because they're being sustained and supported by a life-giving river of God that flows in their midst. God is within. And so now as we're making our way through this psalm, we see that yes, God is our refuge, but he's also our river. And he not only surrounds us, but he actually sustains us from within. And not only is he greater than the waters of destruction, but he himself is a life-sustaining river. And as we read about this river here in the context of the city of Jerusalem, but the thing is, this river doesn't just flow through the city of Jerusalem. It also flows within you. John 7, verse 37 to 39. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant that the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So we, through our faith in Jesus Christ, have rivers of living water flowing within us. And that river is the Spirit of God, the very presence of God. And so the reason that we do not fall is because we have this living water, the Spirit of God, that is living within us, strengthening us, empowering us, guiding us, and steadying us. So we can look at the waters around us that are roaring and foaming, and we can look at nations that are in uproar and kingdoms that are falling, and we can look at pandemics and political agendas and wars and sickness and all the other things that we're seeing the enemy currently throwing at the people of God. And we can face those things and you say, you know what, I might not be able to manage this in my own strength, but I have rivers of living water in me. I have the Spirit of God within me. I have the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead living inside of me. And that Spirit that he gave me, it's not a spirit of fear, but it is a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. So I know that everything is going to be okay because I have God within me. I'm not going to fall because I am being sustained by the river that makes glad the city of God. God is within. The nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall, but he lifts his voice and the earth melts. And then we finish up this section with verse 7. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And we've come back to that theme. that overarching theme that God is our refuge. Moving on to verse 8. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. So we've done God our refuge. God is within us. And tonight, our final Selah, the final truth that we're going to pause and reflect on, is God is God. That's it. God is God. I said we were coming back to simple things tonight, simple truths. God is God. And so as Psalm 46 is drawing to a close as we enter this final little section, we're seeing God in action in the language that is used. Come and see what he's done. He's making wars end, he's breaking bows, he's shattering spears. But the thing is, it's all him. It's all he's doing. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. It's all him. He's the one who is intervening in the chaos. And then it gets to verse 10 and suddenly it's our turn. We get to do something. And what does he ask us to do? He says, be still. That's our responsibility. That's our role. The earth can be crumbling and the nations can be rioting, and yet amongst all the commotion and all the chaos, the job that God gives us is simply to be still and know that he is God. God is God. And I found over the past year or so that when people have asked me how I am, my default answer has changed from, yeah, I'm well, thanks, how are you, to busy. Like even chatting to people this morning after the service, how was your weekend? Busy. Like, can anybody else relate to this? Like, I'm good, but I'm busy. And I mean, rightly so, because life is busy. Because we have work and school and families to look after and friends that we need to catch up with and parties to attend and sports to play. Well, I mean, I don't have sports to play, but you might have sports to play and music lessons and emails to return. And I don't remember the last time I took the dog for a walk, and maybe I should find some time to go to the dentist. Thank you, Annette. Like, but legit though, I should probably find some time to go to the dentist or get my hair done because, you know, I've got that regrowth thing that's starting to come through. And also I should probably find some time to squeeze in a shopping trip so that I can get a new outfit for that function that I'm supposed to go to next week. But also I have a project for work that I need to do because the deadline is next week and I have a meeting tomorrow that I need to prepare for. And maybe I should probably try and squeeze in some time this weekend to go to church because I haven't been there for a while. And I think this might be a life group week as well, so I should probably do that. And I just realised that we're already in the middle of October, which means I should probably start doing some Christmas shopping. And speaking of Christmas, what are we doing for Christmas? We should probably start to organise that. And it just is relentless. Wasn't expecting that to be an applause moment, but okay. It's just an endless stream of busy. We just fill our calendars with things, not to mention that at some stage we're supposed to find time to eat and sleep and shower and exercise and actually just look after ourselves. We live busy lives. And the thing is, what we're seeing now is that businesses are changing the way that they operate in order to accommodate this. So now not only do we live busy lives, but society is evolving in such a way that we don't actually have to slow down. We don't have to stop. Trading hours are being extended. We can go and get takeaway coffee so that we can grab our dose of caffeine and then we just keep going. We don't have to actually go in and like go inside and sit down and drink it and actually stop for a moment. We can just grab it and go. We go through drive-thrus and we do click and collect because that way we don't have to actually spend any time walking through the store looking for what we need ourselves. We can just be in and out in a flash and then keep going on to the next thing. Computers and phones and devices are being manufactured with longer and longer battery lives so that we can just keep working and keep going without having to actually stop and recharge. And don't get me wrong, like I'm a big fan of pretty much all of these things. I utilize all of this. And I know that for me, like, I'm so thankful that there is a place where I can go and I can drive up to a window and I can drive up to a hole in the wall and I push the button down the window in the car, and then someone just hands you a burrito and then, like, I'm on my merry way. Like, you don't even have to get out of the car and they just give you a burrito. Like, what a great time to be alive that that's an option for us. But our busyness has gotten to a point where even our downtime, we're still filling it up with content. In our downtime, we're binge watching a show that we've already seen 10 times, or we're online shopping, or, like for me, I cram podcasts in the car in my commute to and from work so that I can be productive in that time. We've forgotten how to stop. We've forgotten the art of being still. It doesn't come naturally anymore. And so when a situation comes along in our lives that makes our world start to shake, we go into productivity mode because that's our default. And we try to solve things. And then adrenaline kicks in and we tense up and we stress out, and before we know it, we're panicking. We find ourselves trying to incorporate crisis management into our already jam-packed schedule because we don't know how to be still. And worship team, if you guys could come back up, that would be great. In Exodus, when the Israelites have just come out of Egypt, they turn around and they see the Egyptian army coming towards them to kill them. And they panic and they say to Moses, "Why did you bring us here to die?" And Moses says in Exodus 14, verse 14, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Fighting is his job. Being still is yours. You be still, he'll be God, and he will be exalted. In the chaos of our lives, just like we've done throughout this psalm tonight, we need to take a moment to Selah, to pause and reflect. Not to reflect on our crisis, but to reflect on our God. To pause and reflect on who he is. To be able to get ourselves in a place where we can say, "I'm living in the midst of a crazy storm right now, but I'm going to stop and I'm going to take my hands off this situation and I'm going to trust that God, my refuge, my strength, my ever-present help, is big enough and he's strong enough and he's powerful enough to hand it. So I'm just going to be still and know that he is God. In every season, he is God. When the earth gives way, he is God. When the waters start to roar and foam, he is God. When the nations are in uproar and kingdoms are falling, he is God. When hard times come, he is God. So all I need to do right now is take my hands off and let God be God. To shelter myself in him, to lean into his presence that not only surrounds me but dwells within me, and to simply be still and know." And we're going to sing "None But Jesus" again in just a moment. But before we do, I want to take a moment to read Psalm 46 again. I'm going to read through the whole thing, and I want you to just close your eyes. As I do this, close your eyes and just listen. Just pause and listen and reflect on who our God is. "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, 'Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.'" Lord God, we just thank you that you are that ever-present help. that in moments of crisis and in storms, we don't have to panic. We don't need to fear, but we can put ourselves directly in your presence and hide ourselves in you as our refuge, Lord God. We thank you that you are God, that you are above the chaos, you are above the confusion, you are above everything that is going on in our world, that you are still God, that you are still on your throne. And I pray that you would help us to remember to be still. And that as we go out from this place tonight, that we would be able to take those moments, to take those opportunities when everything is going on around us in the busyness of life, that we would take those moments to stop and get ourselves into your presence, to pause and reflect, not on what is going on around us, oh God, but on who you are, on everything that you are, on everything that you have promised. We thank you, Lord God, that your promises are good. We thank you that your promises don't fail us. We thank you that no word that comes from you will return to you void, but it will accomplish what you have purposed, and that you have promised your children that you will be their protection. And so we just thank you for that, Lord God. We thank you that we can quiet ourselves before you. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.